plate a potential nugget.
And maybe just, if it's okay with you, if we could sort of talk about that, if you could talk a little bit about your 40s and what led you to being curious about some of the topics that we'll be talking about.
So I had a back-to-back-to-back set of experiences. First, I was diagnosed with cancer as a new dad of identical daughters. In fact, my cancer was so nonlinear, I had an adult-onset pediatric cancer, a 9-inch tumor in my femur. And so I went through this horrific year of chemotherapy. I was on crutches for 2 years. I kind of rebuilt my leg. And it was a traumatic experience, as you might imagine. That was the year of the Great Recession in this country. And then my family owned a bunch of real estate. I almost went bankrupt. And then my dad, who has Parkinson's, got very depressed and tried to take his own life. 6 times in 12 weeks, he tried to kill himself. And he'd always been the patriarch of the family. I grew up in a family business. And so this was sort of, you know, a deeply unsettling event. We were struggling with business matters. My brother had to step in. Like you, he had been a consultant, in his case at Boston Consulting Group, and he had to take over the business. We were dealing with my mother and all sorts of medical challenges that were really very kind of hard to even talk about. But I'm the story guy. And so I started this exercise with my dad where every Monday morning I would send him a question about his life. Tell me about the house you grew up with, the toys you played with. How'd you become an Eagle Scout in the American Boy Scouts? How'd you join the American Navy? How'd you meet mom? And it was, I have to say, the only thing that sort of brought him joy and meaning, that just this idea of telling these stories. And here's a man who'd never written anything longer than probably a 50-word memo in his life, kind of a very much of a businessman of the kind of mid-20th century America. And yet he kind of started pouring out these stories, and he backed into writing what became a 50,000-word autobiography. And it was this incredible transformation. And so what happened was, it was this incredible transformation. And what happened was, as I would tell everybody else this story, somewhat sheepishly, right? This is an America where it's still uncomfortable to talk about mental health issues. Suicide is, you know, was not then, as it's even not now, something that was kind of openly talked about in social settings. But it turned out everybody had a similar story of a daughter who tried to kill herself, or a boss who stole money, or stage 4 diagnosis, or a sudden death, or an addiction problem. Everybody had some internal story that they were just desperate to tell that they never had an outlet for. And I actually happened to be at a Yale reunion when he was hearing all these stories, and I called my wife and I said, you know what? No one knows how to tell their story anymore. Like, something's going on. Like, everybody says they're living life out of order. Like, they've gotten to a point in their lives where suddenly they can't even understand their lives. And I've got to figure out how to help. And what I did was I created this thing, as you know, called the Life Story Project, where I spent what became years crisscrossing the United States, collecting hundreds and hundreds of life stories of Americans of all ages, all walks of life, people in work crises and personal crises, people who lost limbs, lost homes, changed careers, changed religions, got sober, got out of bad marriages, this incredible array of otherwise unspoken life upheavals. And then what happened was I had 1,000 hours of interviews. You do them for a living, you know that's a lot, and 6,000 pages of transcripts. And I got, you know, I got a team of 12 people following this model that Jim Collins, my friend who wrote the management book Good to Great, and we spent a year analyzing them, kind of arguing about them, debating, trying to find some patterns in there that could help all of us in times of change.
This insight from Bruce reminds me of my conversation with Indraneel Chakraborty, the author of the book Stories at Work. He speaks about the notion of story listening. How do we ask the right questions for people to share their stories with us? As somebody who works with individuals in helping them improve their effectiveness and in making meaningful life decisions, I find that this is a crucial skill that I need to develop to really get leaders to share their stories. In the world of business, we are used to 3 things, 4 things, and there's so much emphasis on brevity that sometimes we find it hard to ask and tell stories. Indraneel speaks about the notion of story listening the art of asking and tuning into another person's journey.
So the person to credit with the word story listening is Sean Callahan. It's a term he coined. It's basically says, how do you collect stories? And the reason we need to be looking at this differently from just the obvious, which is just go and say, tell me a story, because tell me a story in a business context doesn't work. Yeah. So if I come to you saying, tell me a story of great application of knowledge, now you're going to look at me and say, what did you smoke last night? Yeah. Whereas you do have various examples from your work life of great application of knowledge. I'm sure you have. Now, I need to frame questions in a way that will help you really go back to a moment in time, because that's where memories are, right? A moment in time. So the kind of questions that you need to phrase should take you there. So one of the things that would take you there is if I tell you another story, which is about application of knowledge. So I say, you know, Deepak, in this company, they had this, what a brilliant application of knowledge. Sometimes stories trigger stories because you remember another moment in time where something like that happened. So one way to elicit stories is to tell another story. Another way to elicit stories is to actually turn the story pyramid upside down. What is the story pyramid? And you've been in McKinsey, so I'm sure you've read the whole book, which is the most important question is why. Yeah.
Pyramid
then
principle.
And then how? No. This is not the pyramid principle. This is basically saying the question pyramid. So the most important question is why, then how, then what. The country cousins somewhere not important are when and where. The problem with this when it comes to eliciting stories is the why, how, and what are opinion generating questions. Why do projects go wrong in this company? You're not going to get a story. You'll say because of, you know, they are underfunded or don't have management oversight. Yeah. Or how do you choose a great trainer? Mm-hmm. Oh, you choose a great trainer by doing ABC. No stories. But if I were to turn this pyramid and put the why, when and where question is the most important. So when was the last time you actually got the right trainer? And how did it happen? That'll take you to a moment in time and get me a story. Where did you last see great application of knowledge? It'll take you a moment in time and get a story. This process of asking questions that take you to a moment in time and get a story is what we call story listening.
Do tune into my conversation with Indraneel Chakraborty if this is of interest. You could just go to playtopotential.com and find Indraneel in the speakers section.